Should we pray to begin?
No.
Should we pray to begin? Yeah. We humble ourselves this morning before you, God. And we ask that you speak to us, God, by your Spirit. We open our ears, we open our hearts to hear from you this morning. I just pray that you'd speak through what I have to share this morning, God. Amen. Okay. This morning, I want to talk about worship. Worship. And I thought to begin, as I often do, we'd have a bit of fun. Is that okay? So I've got a little game we can play to begin with. Does anybody know the game Finish the Lyrics? Okay, I'm going to give you a line of lyrics from a worship song, and then I would like you to try and tell me the next line in the worship song. Can we have the first lyric up, please, Chad? What heights of love, what depths of peace. What comes next? All together, shall we? What heights of love, what depths of peace? That's what we need. We need some shouters. Very good. When fears are stilled, when striving cease. Well, and that song is? In Christ alone. That's the answer. Next one. We'll go for the next one. You get the hang of it. Next one. And on that day when my strength is failing, the end draws near and my time. Shall we see? The end draws near. What song is that? 10,000 Reasons. Yes, very good. You didn't know you were going to get quizzed this morning, did you? What's the next one we've got? And when I think that God, his son, not sparing. Oh, that was a quick one, that one. Sent him to die. I scarce can take in. I really like that lyrics, those lyrics. I think they're brilliant, aren't they? When I think that God, his... Oh, I was just reading it again, sorry. When I think that God, his son, not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in. We often just shoot over that line, don't we? But I can hardly take it in. Okay, next one says, break my heart for what breaks yours. Everything I am for your kingdom's cause. Well done. That's Hosanna, isn't it? Oh, I've only got two more left, okay? I thought they're all quite easy, actually. There's no red herrings in there. I should have done that, shouldn't I? I should have put like a Prince song in or something just to confuse you. Ah, in hindsight. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head. Oh, come on. I will sing of the goodness of God. Very good. And the last one, this is one of my favourite lines, actually. That he should give his only son. It's too vague, isn't it? It's too vague. What could that be? That he should give his only son. Tis almost... It does have the word wretch in. Louder, anyone? Almost. To make a wretch his treasure. To make a wretch his treasure. That's good. That is really good, isn't it? Okay, thank you, Chad. Bit of fun to begin with. So, worship. We were created to worship God. Colossians 1 says, for by him, that's God, all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. Romans 11 says, for everything comes from him and exists by his power and is intended for his glory. All glory to him forever. Amen. We were created to worship God. Your life is not about you. It is about God. We were created to worship God. And God is deserving of all of our praise. God is deserving of all of our praise. We sing that song, don't we? You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of all of our praise. It's not that he needs our praise. It's not that he needs our praise. It's that he deserves our praise. If you had... a competition to find out who was the... there is a competition that exists to find out who is the fastest person in the world. It's called the Olympics. When you finish the Olympics and the winner stands on the podium, the winner gets a golden medal because he deserves the golden medal. He is the fastest man in the world and he deserves the medal that says, you are the fastest man in the world. To deny him that medal would be not right. It would be unfair. And to give that medal to someone else would be wrong, wouldn't it? God deserves all the praise from all creation. What did we just read? All things were created by him and for him. Everything exists by his power and is intended for his glory. He deserves all the praise from all creation for all of time. That's not because he needs the praise, but because he deserves the praise because of who he is. When we look at God, we can't do anything but worship him in all of his glory, all of his wonder, all of the things that he has done and all of the things that he is demands that we praise him, we worship him. God is holy. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. That's what the angels declare. They shout over him in the throne room. In Isaiah and in Revelation, it's the same thing as well. They're saying again and again, holy, holy, holy is God. What is worship? In Romans 12, it talks about worship with our whole lives, doesn't it? Romans 12. I might fire through a few scriptures here, so if you've got Bibles, you feel free to get, yeah. Romans 12 says, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. What's your spiritual act of worship? To present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. Our whole bodies, our whole lives are worship to God. It's not just the words that we say. It's not just the songs that we sing. Our whole lives should give glory to God, should be worship to God. But it is also the songs that we sing. If you look through church history and all through the Bible, people worship God with their songs. That's one of the reasons why we do it every Sunday morning, isn't it? We worship God with our songs. People in the Bible who worship God with their songs, there's lots and lots. We'll look at a few in a bit. Moses, Isaiah, David, and all of the Psalms. Job, Paul, Silas, Mary. You can probably think of some more as well. We worship God with songs. When I'm talking about worship now for the rest of this, I'm not referring to worship as a whole lifestyle. I'm referring to specifically the songs that we sing to God. Worship, can I have the next slide please, is a moment when I connect with God. In worship, I connect with God. There's something fantastic and wonderful and simple about worship for me. It doesn't often matter how I'm feeling or what I'm going through beforehand. But worship is a moment when I can connect with God. It often has been. I can think of prayer meetings. In fact, not long ago, Julie asked me to help at a prayer meeting, and I really didn't want to. I wasn't not in the mood at all. I was quite tired, and I would have rather stay at home and watch TV. But I said yes because Julie asked me to. not because I'm holy, but because Julie asked me to. And I thought, yes, I'd love to. So what I did is I brought my guitar. Because for me, actually, one of the ways that I connect with God easiest is with music, with worship. That is prayer for me, actually. If prayer is communicating with God, I often do that through music. So I brought my guitar and I had the most, I don't know about anyone else in the room, I had the most wonderful time. I really connected God in that moment, in that meeting. It was really quite powerful for me. It was quite helpful for me. I know that worship is not about me, but that's one of the beautiful blessings of worship, is that it does bless us when we do what we were made to do, to connect with God and give glory to God. And so then that is something that I've recognized and I do on purpose now. I often get my guitar out when I'm I put the music on. I get Spotify on and put some worship on, get YouTube on and put some worship on. When I know I need to connect with God, I know worship is something that just seems to be easy for me. I don't know if that's for you. It might be the same. Perhaps there's something else for you that's different. But for me, worship is almost the easiest way I know to connect with God, the quickest way. And I can think of, there's been countless times through my life when in a time of worship, I've met with God in ways that perhaps I haven't otherwise. Worship for me, I love in worship using words that someone else has written. We looked at just a few of those words, didn't we? words that someone else has written, a song someone else has already composed, people who are more poetic than me, people who have better ideas than me and more talent than me have put together these beautiful songs, and I love to sing those words. Sometimes I forget things about God or about the world, and when I read something someone else has written, it reminds me of what I've forgotten. I love to worship with my own words as well. I love to do that. We don't always do that on a Sunday morning, but we do sometimes. I love to just play the guitar and sing what's on my heart. Just if you read the Psalms, David seems to do that a lot. He just sort of pours out his heart, everything he's going through, his struggles and his joys. Everything that's inside just pours out to God because God wants to listen. And also I listen and I hear from God as well. I love to do that in worship. Not just talking to God or talking about God, but listening as well. Having times in worship when I'm not trying to tell God something or ask God something, but I want to hear from him. And he speaks to me in worship. Sometimes I remind myself of who God is. Sometimes, oh, I've said some of these already. Sometimes I just pour out honor and praise and thanks to God. Sometimes I cry out to God in need. I call upon his name. And sometimes worship is to lament as well. We don't often do that on a Sunday morning. But the Psalms are full of laments, full of David crying out, woe is me. This is hard. This life that we live is tough sometimes, isn't it? And David just cries out to God. Worship is also a special gift. I think it is a privilege that we get the chance to worship. We must remember our place. We stand before God when we worship, don't we? There's that. I think we sung that song last week, before the throne of God above. Before the throne of God above. We stand before the throne of God. When I was thinking about this, I thought about the story that Jesus tells about the man who has a wedding feast or a banquet or something like that. And he asks his friends to come and they all say no. So he says to his workers, go and find people from the street, just anyone. Drag them in. Bring them in. Tell them there's free food. We're going to have a feast. So he comes and people come to the banquet. And it's a wonderful moment where they get to be in this very special place. But they're invited for free, because even though they didn't deserve it. They had nothing to be deserving of that feast. But they were given the invitation for free. And then we have this strange moment at the end of the story when the man hosting the feast finds somebody who's not wearing appropriate clothing. He said, how dare you come to this feast dressed in your trainers? You know, well, obviously not trainers, but dressed inappropriately, dressed inadequately. And I think there's this very strange ending to the parable, but it's a really interesting thought that sometimes because something is free, we can think it's not got any value to it. Just because it was free doesn't mean it's not valuable, doesn't mean it's not important. We are given access to stand before God for free. We get to come into the presence of God and we have his ear when we speak to him. He listens to us and he speaks back to us for free. But that is not value. It's not got little value. That's important. That's something to be respected, something to be honored. We shouldn't come wearing the wrong clothes in our trainers. That was just a joke. You can wear trainers to church if you want. But perhaps we should think of that respectfully. Worship also is a tool, I think. I think if we focus too much on worship, it can become either something that it can become a stumbling block. Perhaps that can happen. I've had that before. When the song that you're listening to prevents you from worshiping God because you're focused too much on the song that you're not enjoying it, or there's something wrong with the song and it stops you from worshiping God. Equally, perhaps the other side of it is that it can become all about the song, all about the music, and we focus too much on the music that we forget about the one that we're worshiping. So worship is a tool. We must remember that. Even though I'm talking an awful lot about the wonders of worship and the pleasure of worship, the privilege of worship, it's a tool, isn't it? It's a means to an end, and the end is connecting with God, worshiping God. Jesus talks about worshiping in spirit and in truth. In truth. I think this is key. When I thought about worshiping in truth, I thought, what does that mean? Maybe there's different ways we could interpret that. Here's a few. Worshipping in truth, I think, means worshipping with honesty and integrity, that I mean what I say. It's very important for me. I like to read through the lyrics of all the songs that we're reading and make sure I'm not going to sing something that I don't mean. I think that's very disrespectful, to sing something to God that you don't mean. We should think about that while we're worshipping God, especially if it's words someone else has written. Do we mean these words when we sing them? I think that's what it means to worship in truth. Also, to worship in truth is to worship with the right doctrine. So we shouldn't worship something, we shouldn't sing something to God that is not true, should we? If I said to Ollie, your hair looks beautiful this morning, that's a useless compliment because he's not got any hair. Represent. In the same way, if we worship God and we tell him something that is not true, there's no point doing it. It's maybe even disrespectful to say, I think your hair looks beautiful. You might even take it the wrong way and get upset. Maybe God would do the same if we said things to God that weren't true about him. So we must make sure that the worship that we sing is true in doctrine, which I think we can thank our worship leaders for. Hopefully they pick songs that have got the right doctrine. And also worship in truth. Jesus is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. I don't know if we can worship if we are not in Christ Jesus. Okay, I'm going to do next thing is three things now. I don't think it'll take too long. Three points now that we're going to go through about different seasons that we can worship God in. So in the Bible, as we just said, worship is what we were created to do, which means we worship God all the time, throughout our lives. And I think there's three, perhaps, different seasons that we can worship God in, that we can see in the Bible. And perhaps as we share about these, you'll be able to connect with some of them. Maybe say, oh, I feel like I'm in that season, or I have been in that season, and be encouraged to worship God in those seasons. So the first season is worship God in the... Next one. Oh, desert. Worship God in the desert. In Exodus, Moses comes to Pharaoh and he says, let my people go. I can't, yeah. He says, let my people go so that they may worship me in the wilderness. Sorry, I suppose God says that, doesn't he? Moses doesn't want the people to worship him. He wants them to worship God. So they may worship me in the wilderness. For the Israelites, the desert or the wilderness was a place of lack, a place of need, a place of discomfort, a place of hunger and thirst. They lost all the finer things of Egypt. They also lost the oppression and genocide of Egypt, but they lost all the finer things of Egypt as well. They were separated from the world around them, all that they depended on. They were alone in the wilderness. For many people, the wilderness is also where they met God. Who else spent time in the wilderness? Perhaps you can think. Can you turn to the person next to you and think, who else do we know spent time in the wilderness? Tell the person next to you. Okay, go on. What did we come up with? Jesus. Yeah, that was a good one. Who else spent time in the wilderness? Winston Churchill. Hagar, true. John the Baptist, yeah. Anyone else? Abraham. Yes, maybe. Maybe, yes. Moses, earlier than this, he did as well. You got all the others. Oh, Elijah. Elijah did as well. He walked through the wilderness, didn't he? For many of those people, the wilderness is where they met God. I think that's quite interesting. So for you and I, maybe we're not actually going to go to a real desert, but perhaps you may have been through an experience like this in your life, a time of need, a time of discomfort, a time of being separated from things we depend on, things in the world around us, a time of dryness and emptiness, of spiritual hunger or thirst. I think maybe... But just a significant thought, perhaps, that in those times of emptiness and thirst and hunger and dryness, that in those times of need, all of those people met God in those moments. And I would say in my life, when I've had times of maybe dryness or spiritual dryness, you have to use the metaphor a bit now, spiritual hunger, spiritual need. Actually, in those moments, worship is sometimes easier. Sometimes I connect with God easier in those moments because I'm desperate. I'm desperate for it. David wrote Psalm 63 while he was in the desert of Judah. He wrote, God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water. Then the next bit he says, I have seen you in the sanctuary and I have beheld your power and your glory because your love is better than life. My lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live. And in your name I will lift up my hands. I will be fully satisfied as with the richest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. He carries on a little bit further as well. It reminds me of that psalm, the other psalm that we often sing on a Sunday. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul. Let all that is within me bless his holy name. He's like in that psalm, he's telling himself to bless the Lord, isn't he? He's reminding himself to bless God. In this psalm, he says, I remember your power, God. I remember your glory. And I know that love is better than life. He says this in the desert. I remember your power and your glory, and I know your love is better than life. I will sing, and I will praise you as long as I live, and I will be satisfied. In the desert, God has not changed. In the silence, God has not left. Or as we sing in the kids' song, in the silence, you won't let go. We know that is true, don't we? So let us, like David, remind ourselves to praise God in the desert, to worship him in the wilderness, because he is holy and he never changes. He is worthy no matter how we are feeling. Worship God in the desert. Okay, another season that I have is to worship God in the fire. I'm sure you can think of a song for that as well. Worship God in the fire, which often in the Bible represents trials and tribulations. Isaiah 48 says, behold, I have refined you, not as silver. I have tried you in the furnace of affliction. And 1 Peter, this is quite a long passage, but I think you might recognize it. 1 Peter 1. I'm going to read a whole chunk of it, if that's all right. 1 Peter 1, start at verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Verse 6, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes though even refined by fire, your faith may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Fantastic, isn't it? These trials and tribulations, the fire that we go through, produces something in us, doesn't it? It refines us, and it may be proved genuine, and it may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. In Acts chapter 16, we have this story of Paul and Silas that many of us know, where they're going around preaching, and there's a slave girl who's saying, these men are servants of the Most High God. And although that seems like quite a good endorsement, I thought, Paul seems really troubled by it because it comes from a spirit that she has within her. So he casts the spirit out of her, and the owners of the slave girl get really annoyed, and they stir up a mob, and they attack them, they throw them in prison, they strip them, they beat them, and they flog them severely, it says. But while they're in prison, they begin praying and singing hymns to God. Things have taken a really bad turn for these guys. And if I was in their shoes, I would be wondering, perhaps I should never have said anything to that slave girl. But here, in the place of suffering, they choose to worship. And in this story, God steps into their situation. He bursts open the prison doors and sets them free. And the jailer finds faith in Jesus. Not always does praise open the doors. In the story of Job, chapter 1, after hearing some devastating news, it says that he tears his clothes and then he worships God. Nothing changes. God doesn't fix his problem. God doesn't restore all the things that are lost. But it says Job does not sin. He doesn't lose his faith. He doesn't lose his character. We have quite a lot of songs that we sing about... Oh no, that's later. Here we go. Worship is not just about asking God for help. It is also praising him in the midst of trouble. Perhaps you can think of a time when you were in distress, when you were suffering. Maybe God was testing you or refining you in the furnace of affliction. In these moments, we can use worship to keep our eyes fixed on the reality that these times are temporary and they are producing in us something that will honor God. Maybe God will change the circumstances like Paul and Silas, or maybe our situations will remain, but so will our faith in God. For that is what he requires of us, isn't it? Faithfulness. And the third season I have is worship on the mountaintop. That's one. Worship on the mountaintop. The first ever song that is recorded in the Bible was sung by anybody? Moses. Moses sung the first ever song when, it was, I think it said Miriam down here. I think that was directly afterwards, in fact. So well done. When the story when God saves the people of Israel as they come through the Red Sea and he destroys the army that is trying to wipe them out, Moses turns around and he pours out his heart in praise to God. God, after God saved them, Moses sung a song. I think it seems very natural, that doesn't it? Something amazing happens. God shows up and saves the day, and we praise God and we thank God. It seems easy. I think that's fantastic, and that's a great encouragement to do that. Also, maybe we have the story of Mary, I wondered, when God, I suppose he gives her this great honor of being the mother of Jesus, and she sings this song, doesn't she? The Magnificat. My soul magnifies the Lord. It is important to remember where the credit should be given. It is easy, I think, to forget God when things are going well. Although it seems very natural, as we sit here to say, when God shows up and does something great, then we praise him for that. But I think sometimes it is very easy when things are going well in our life to forget that those things are going well because of God. We can start to think that perhaps it was us that made them go well. Perhaps it was our own strength that has brought about the success, when in fact it was God who led us and saved us and gives us every good and perfect thing. There's a song called The Desert Song by Hillsong, which is quite a few years old now. I really love that song, and that song sings all about praising God, worshipping God in different seasons. And she says her prayer in the time of harvest, in the time of plenty, she says, I know I'm filled to be emptied again. The seed that I've received, I will sow. When times are good, when things are going well, when we have enough, when we feel full of faith and peace and joy and certainty, in those times we ought to remember that it's better to give than to receive. There is a reason that we are filled, and it's not so that we can feel good about being filled. There are people all around us. What has God filled you with? What do you have plenty of? And how could you pour that out to those around you? So let us worship God in the wilderness. Let us worship God in the fire. And let us worship God on the mountaintop. Let us worship God in the desert place, in the trials, and in the good times as well. I think, can I invite the worship team up? And can we all just close our eyes and have a moment to reflect? I would like to read this to you now. We're going to worship God in a minute. We're going to do what we've been talking about. Isaiah says, "Give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known among the nations what he has done, and proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for he has done glorious things. Let this be known in all the world. Shout aloud and sing for joy, people of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel among you." Perhaps today you might think that you've, in one of the seasons that we talked about, perhaps for you, life feels a bit like being in a desert place. You feel quite empty, quite alone, maybe in need, hungry and thirsty for more of God. Or perhaps you feel like you're in the fire today. You feel like God is testing you and refining you. Feel like there's a time of suffering, which is hard. Or perhaps you feel like life is pretty good right now. You have what you need. Perhaps you feel like you're on a mountaintop. You don't have to look far to be filled with joy and peace and thankfulness. Or whatever season in this morning, let's remember to worship God, the reason why we're created. And whatever we're going through, we can worship God in truth, in honesty. We can connect with him. Pour out everything that we have to him. Let's redirect our attention to him again this morning as we sing.